Hello, everyone, and welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. Let's begin as we always do and join for a few moments together in silence. Beginning with taking a nice, mindful, deep breath in and releasing. And bringing our attention to our own willingness. Above all else, we want to see. And above all else, we want to see differently. We are willing. And offering our willingness to Holy Spirit. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we place Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request, with joy. And again, taking a nice, mindful breath in and out. And coming together to our perception of right here, right now. So we've been in some of the Easter reading for a few weeks now. And actually, I will share this story in a paragraph or so about the resurrection of my pet chicken who was absolutely in the process of her body shutting down and the miraculous recovery and physical healing that she experienced as of a result of doing this work. So I'm excited to share that story with you all this evening. We are, if you have the Sparkle Edition, we're on page 480. It's the last paragraph. This Easter, look with different eyes upon each other. That corresponds to the foundation, I'm going to do the original edition. The original edition by Course in Miracles Society, it's chapter 20, part 3, paragraph number 10. And then in FIP, it's chapter 20, part 2, paragraph number 6. And in the Circle of Atonement edition, it's page 638, paragraph number 6. So that's where we're at. And actually, I feel moved, if you would back up just one paragraph, I'm just going to reread the prior paragraph, the one that we ended with last week, because it really, really sort of captures and sums up the theme of what it is that we're reading about here. So I'll read the paragraph that we already read. So everything that I just told you, just go back one paragraph. I'll read that, and then I'll flow right into the paragraph that I just highlighted for you. All righty, here we go. You look still with the body's eyes, and they can see but thorns. Yet you have asked for and received another sight. Those who accept the Holy Spirit's purpose as their own share also his vision. And what enables him to see his purpose shine forth from every altar now is yours as well as his. He sees no strangers, only dearly loved and loving friends. He sees no thorns, but only lilies, gleaming in the gentle glow of peace that shines on everything he looks upon and loves. This Easter, look with different eyes upon each other. You have forgiven me. And yet I cannot use your gifts of lilies while you see them not. Nor can you use what I have given unless you share it. The Holy Spirit's vision is no idle gift, no plaything to be tossed about a while and then laid aside. Listen and hear this carefully, nor think it but a dream, a careless thought to play with, or a toy you would pick up from time to time and then put by. For if you do, so will it be to you. I'll pause there.
I have one sentence, Corinne, that doesn't, that's confusing me. He sees no strangers, only, no. And what enables him to see his purpose shine forth from every altar now is yours as well as his. That kind of confused. What enables him to see his purpose shine forth from every, I guess it's the every altar now. That confuses me right in there.
So what enables the Holy Spirit to be able to see the Holy Spirit in everything? We share that ability. We have turned to Holy Spirit and are allowing Holy Spirit's vision to come through us. And so his purpose, in other words, seeing Holy Spirit in everything, seeing the truth, is now we have that ability to reflect that for every altar, for every person. We have the ability now to see the Christ everywhere. That's really what it boils down to. We now have the ability to see the Christ everywhere, just as Holy Spirit does. So Holy Spirit's purpose is our purpose. It's God's purpose. It's our will. We now, and we don't have that ability alone, and certainly not as Corinne, but certainly as the truth of our of who we are, our capital S self, and through the Holy Spirit within us.
Okay.
Does that help?
It does help. It I think the one part that confuses me is from every altar. I'm thinking about a conversation I had this morning with a man that is kind of stuffy. That's what you would, you know, if you had to describe his outward appearance, it would be sort of stuffy and hard to. And I started a conversation. I was very much a feeling of the Spirit's presence today, and he just opened up to me. He just opened up and was laughing and so forth. And I thought, and when I read that, I thought, now, is there anything that was awakened in him of the Holy Spirit when it says every altar? Or was it just my perception that was heightened and was brought to the truth?
It's always our perception, and it's also, you know, we enter heaven two by two. So like we've said before, the Holy Spirit in you can join with the Holy Spirit in another. That part of you touching that part in him, that was resonating for me when you were telling that story. But it is also our ability to have right perception, to bring our perception to Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to use our perception to see truly, which, if I may add, from where we just left off, if you read the very next two sentences, it explains it with the question that you just brought up, Sue. It says, you have the vision now to look past all illusions. It has been given you to see no thorns, no strangers, and no obstacles to peace. So that that sentence that you asked about, wherever it went, what enables him to see his purpose shine forth from every altar is yours as well as his. We have that same vision now within us to look past all illusions when we turn to Holy Spirit and let Holy Spirit, you know, extend through us. So it very much sounds like something in you joined with something in him. It awoke in him because of your willingness to do this work.
I have this notion where, you know, you are the savior of the world, but we are just the savior of ourselves, correct?
You know,
I mean, I don't want to get you into the deep, but I mean, what is the ultimate purpose of us doing this? Granted, it is for our inner peace and for us to spread the Holy Spirit's vision, but if it doesn't, I don't know. I'm confused on
it. It does also save the world. So the course does talk about that we are literally doing this to save the world, that there is only one of us out there. There are no, you know, separate selves. It isn't just work for, you know, for oneself,
yeah,
just to have one's own inner peace, that this is literally for the healing of the world. So,
okay.
Yes.
That sealed it for me. Okay. Thank you. Good. Yeah. But when you said there was only one, that was the one that had slipped my memory. And that is hard to sometimes remember. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
I had something I just wanted to kind of talk this out, and maybe y'all can help me ensure that I got it right. And what enables him to see his purpose shine forth from every altar now is yours as well as his. So what I'm hearing from this, and I know this is the previous paragraph, but what I'm hearing from this is, because the word altar is not capitalized, so perhaps this is insisting that I am going to see the true purpose of the altar regardless of where that altar has been made. So instead of being, let's say, I'm perceiving myself as a body, and therefore if my brother has made their altar their body and adorned it with what they see in value, I will join them in that. But if I have accepted Holy Spirit's vision, then I will not see that they have made their body their altar, but have chosen their body to be actually the release that they're asking for.
I like that. I like that. That's the willingness to see the truth despite what, you know, what might be reported by our body's eyes or our, you know, our body's experience. So I resonate with how you said that, Ryan. I like that.
Wunderbar.
I like
Thank
that.
You.
Beautiful. You know, I tend to think of the altar as our inner altar, that place where Holy Spirit abides within all of us. That's how I tend to think about the altar. I have my glossary index by Ken Wapnick right here. I just grabbed it off my desk. He writes that the altar is the part of the mind that chooses God or the ego, not an external structure, but an attitude or devotion. So to me, that altar is that place where we go for our devotion. It's where we choose God. It's that place, you know, not really a place, but that place within.
Exactly.
Yeah, beautiful. Another definition that he gives here is the symbol of God's presence in us, the meeting place of God and his Son, strewn with the lilies of forgiveness.
I feel moved to just share. Recently I read Cameo 11 from the Circle of Atonement version of the Course. And if anyone doesn't know what I'm talking about, there are, I believe, 33 essays included in the latest publication of A Course in Miracles that are from Helen Checkman's notes. And these essays have incredible insights into just the process of the Course being dictated. We get a sense of who Helen is, and Bill as well, Bill Fretford, her partner and friend and colleague. And also it's just everything in these authors is so relatable and so human, you know. And in, I believe it was number 11, Jesus is talking about capacity, and he's talking about that all spiritual beings, so all of us, the one sonship, have the exact same capacity that Jesus does. So in that sense, Jesus is like a perfect example of what is possible for us as miracle workers. It's just that Jesus has been purified to the point where nothing is in the way of perfect understanding. It's kind of the way that I took it. It's like, so when we're talking about the altar, it's that willingness to take everything to the Holy Spirit within us and be asking, like, involuntarily for that step or whatever it is that is required of us. But I don't know, for some reason the word capacity is really sticking with me, and just our awareness that there is no, like, Jesus isn't better or worse than us, in the sense that we all have equal capacity to be the expression of love and purity and, you know, pure love, that 'cause that's what we are. It's just that willingness to take it to our, you know, teacher, our higher self, that's required. So.
Awesome. Deidre, that was, I'm just smiling ear to ear that you shared all that, because you just brought up so many points that I'd love to share with you all the story about my chicken's physical healing, if I may, now, because so many things that you said, Deidre, are just a perfect springboard for me to give a concrete example of all these principles. And I've been going, I've actually shared some of this with you all already in previous weeks, because this has been a process for me. I went through a rather rapid period of undoing a few weeks ago that was kind of out of the blue. It was a bit surprising. And I'll share with you all, I'm asking Holy Spirit how much detail to get into at the moment. I had some pretty big insights that were occurring to me, and they were very profound, and I had a little bit of an ego backlash because of some of these, or one of the insights in particular, and the process of finding my way out of that little backlash, while there were also things then showing up in my pet chickens that were bringing stuff up in me. For instance, let me get concrete now. I know I shared this part of the story already, I think, where one of my chickens was having, she got egg bound again, so she had an egg stuck inside of her. She was in a lot of pain. I was feeling physical pain in my belly. Like, I was just nervous and worried and like, what are we going to do? We got to take her to the vet. This all was something that was just going on for, again, I don't want to get bogged down in too much detail, but this was two of my chickens sort of taking turns. So they're bringing up this feeling in me of, oh my God, I have to get them, you know, taken care of, to a vet. We took the one to the vet, came home with a $750 vet bill, which,
oh my
as
God.
You can imagine, was not expected and not something that we feel that we can do all the time, because that's a lot of money. After that chicken was taken care of, the next one started having issues. And this one had already previously been to the vet and sort of had her, you know, expensive vet bill experience already. And so this time we were in a position of feeling sort of caught, that we couldn't afford to take her to the vet. And yet, you know, she was clearly not doing well. Now, at this point, somewhere around this point, I need to write this up as a blog post, because I need to remember all that transpired. I remember sharing with you all a couple weeks ago about true empathy, about the section in the course on true empathy. And the course says that to join with suffering, so in other words, for me to be so upset that my little sweet pet chicken is suffering, for me to join in her suffering is not helping her. I'm actually hurting her. I'm actually affirming that she is a body, that she is subject to sickness, to suffering, to death. Instead, that part of the course is prompting us. So Deidre, you said the word capacity. That was the first time I started chuckling. This part of the course is prompting us to give our capacity for empathy, for sympathy when we join in suffering, to give our capacity to do that to Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit will use that capacity instead for us to teach us how to learn how to side with strength rather than with weakness. So this was sort of the big first shift that I had in recognizing that if I was going to suffer with her, I was condemning both of us. So there I had the willingness. There I sort of felt lifted above the battleground and not joined in the suffering anymore, but still turning to Holy Spirit, asking what to do. At this point, I know I've shared with you all already that I've been taking these classes with Corrine Walson, who is the Christian Scientist who also teaches the course. And I got a number of really, really fabulous insights from these calls. And one of the things that Corrine taught, Mary Baker Eddy, who is the founder of Christian Science, basically said when she was, I guess before Christian Science was formally established, she essentially said, how did Jesus heal the sick and raise the dead? How did he do that? And she came to the conclusion that Jesus had the correct view. He had the correct view of man, of people. So if you think about this, the correct view, what is that? But what the course is teaching us about using Holy Spirit's vision instead of our vision. It's about seeing straight to the truth, looking right past the illusion, seeing to the truth instead, and therefore we affirm and uphold the truth, and what is the lie falls away. So this teaching that Jesus had the correct view of man really struck me because Mary Baker Eddy, just like A Course in Miracles, just like Deidre just said, is teaching us that we have the exact same capacity to heal the sick and raise the dead as Jesus had. He is not special in that way. He did it perfectly, but he's trying to show us that we are capable of this as well because our bodies, the world, all of it is in the mind. It's all a projection coming from the mind. So at this point, I guess the next thing that I'll share about this is that another insight that Corrine had shared was that, and I'm pretty sure I've shared this on the call too, the idea of chicken or the idea of, you know, husband or whatever our billions of ideas are. Number one, well, let me back up for one moment. The Course says that just like God, we are ideas as well. We are ideas, and yet we don't want to accept that. We want to be something concrete and solid, and yet we are ideas. So we essentially are ideas that have never entered into matter. I know I've said that on the call before because, again, this has been sort of ongoing. But it hit me that the idea of my chicken has never entered into matter. It's never entered into form. She, the idea of my chickie, and all of us, remains as pure and as perfect and as untouched as God, as truth, as love, and nothing in form has the power to change that. Nothing in form has the power to change that ever. So I essentially just was so willing to bring my mind to that place and did, just, you know, brought my mind to this place that the idea of chicken never entered into matter, the idea of Corrine never entered into matter, the idea of this whole world never entered into matter. It sure as hell seems like it, but, again, we're learning how to use the Holy Spirit's vision and not rely on the body's eyes. So I had written to Corrine because she was encouraging us to just reach out to her during the the class, and I asked her just to, you know, to join with me, because Christian Scientists often do healings. They do sessions with people and join together in siding with the truth. And so I had written to her about Helen, and she just wrote me back a short little paragraph and just reiterated some of the things that she had already shared on the call, and I'm just opening it up right now. I'll just read to you. She wrote, regarding Helen, Helen is my chicken. She is loved dearly by God. She is an idea in God's mind. Mary Baker Eddy shares that, listen to this quote, a spiritual idea contains not a single element of error, and this truth understood removes properly whatever is offensive. I'm going to start crying. A spiritual idea contains not a single element of error, and this truth understood removes properly whatever is offensive. A spiritual idea, Helen, my chicken, cannot be invaded, added to, subtracted from, altered, deranged, misaligned, enhanced, or in any way different than what God is knowing about her. I am joining you in loving Helen as the perfect, beautiful, harmonious, whole, blessed idea of God. She is beauty, life, curiosity, joy, freedom, a boundless expression of life. Where in these qualities can error invade? It simply cannot. You and I, having Christ consciousness, knowing the truth all the time about all things, are not mesmerized into witnessing a false picture or imposter of Helen. We have the privilege of witnessing only the truth about her, her pure nature, and her perfect being. There is no chicken to heal, only a false suggestion needing replacement. Again, there is no chicken to heal, only a false suggestion needing replacement. This applies to our bodies. There is no body to heal, only a false suggestion needing replacement. In our joining, Holy Spirit corrects the false perception. Only God's creation exists. Hooray for Helen. So I got this email. I just sat with it. I read it. I reread it. I just allowed my mind to open fully to these ideas. And I will tell you, Helen's belly was like the size of probably a grapefruit. She was swollen. She was really straining to even just push out poop. She couldn't, like, she stopped laying eggs. She was lethargic. She was still kind of pecking around and eating a little bit, but she wasn't really moving around that much. And when I tell you today, this is where I just feel so much emotion. She is completely healed. Not only the first thing that went away, and the other thing was that she, if you can imagine yourself locking your knees and trying to walk, so you look like you're waddling like a duck, that's how she was walking. So she was waddling like a duck. The first thing I noticed, it was about 3 days after this, the first thing I noticed is that her walking looked different. It looked better. And I was like, is there an improvement? Like, this is a little bit, she looks different. And then the next day I was like, holy shit, like she's better. Her belly went down significantly. By the next day, her belly was like totally back down to normal. She got her energy back. She was eating everything in sight. After her belly swelling went down, you know, I picked her up and I could tell she lost a lot of weight. She's been eating everything and putting all that weight back on, and now we're getting signs that she might start laying eggs again soon, because they do this, like, squat thing. I don't know how to describe it. She's healed. She's completely, completely healed. And the doubting Thomas in me at first was like, I caught that ego voice saying, oh, my God, how can this be? How can this be happening? And I caught it, and I said, no, thank you, ego. I am not accepting that. There was a physical healing that just happened. This works. This is what the course is teaching us how to do, and the ego voice is not going to doubt or take this away. So I am just every time I see her now, I mean, she's like darting across the yard, like flapping her wings. She's back to being her fearless self. Well, she'll just follow you. If I don't close the back door right away, she'll just walk right in the house or in the basement. She's completely back to normal. So it's been a gift for me and a reminder every time I look at her. And when I look at her, I feel intense joy. And I feel intense love, not for her body, but for the truth that is there behind the form. That this hologram is just a hologram, and life is outside of this. It's not, as I've said before on the call, what we see with the body's eyes is not life. These are like animated cardboard cutouts, and the truth is right there. We've been given vision now to look past all illusions, just like the Course says.
I feel like I experienced that with you, Corinne. That's amazing.
And so it is.
I feel like you did too.
That's amazing. Believable.
It was
totally
absolutely
believable.
Miraculous. Yeah, it was absolutely miraculous. So I'm thrilled. I'm just thrilled. Yes, was that Greg?
Yes. A Course in
America. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What does the miracle do but remove that which is not true?
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Yep.
That's it. That is it. It removes what is not true.
You know,
so
I'll tell you, Corinne. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, it's our task as miracle workers to remember this, to remember to have willingness to not get mesmerized by the pictures that are showing up around us, because those pictures are there to convince us of the truth of the form. And remember that prayer that we've talked about so many times. Take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me. What were you going to say, Paula?
Believe me. That was absolutely fabulous. I had an experience this week with my brand new washing machine that is supposedly kaput. The repairman came and said, "Nah, it's totally bad. You need it replaced." Went to Sears, and Sears just didn't want to hear it. And by the time I walked out of that store, they as much as said to me, "Well, there's nothing we can do about this." And, you know, you go right into that ego drama. And I just thought to myself, I'm not doing it. And what's the big deal anyway? I'll go to the laundromat. And I just went to the Holy Spirit with it, and I said, I'm not crucifying myself with this. Take it. And went about my business. And within a day, I get a phone call from the very same repairman. And he was like, "I'll be over on..." He said, "Do you have a day off? Can you?" I said, "Well, I'm actually going to be off on Monday." He said, "Well, I'll be there at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we're going to fix this for you." And he said, if it doesn't get fixed, it's going to get replaced. Now, that drama, had I gone into it, occurred to me that it is the very block that would keep the miracle, whatever the answer was, from coming. And by not going into that and just giving it to the Holy Spirit, and I asked the Holy Spirit, just give me a way to look at this so that I'm not so tempted by the ego. And that notion, your daughter has a washing machine. Go to the laundromat. What's the big deal? And honest to God, it's just been playing itself out beautifully. And my daughter literally calls me and says, "Mom, come over and use the washing machine."
I love it.
You know, it's
that's beautiful.
That drama is the block to allowing it. And it's basically what you did, Corinne. It's the very, you know, I'm not going to believe this voice that's telling me. Okay, that's enough of me.
It's true.
I have a question. This is Steve.
Sure, one moment. I'm hearing some background noise.
Sounds like a television almost.
There it is.
Okay, great. Thank you. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Something. Okay, great. Something weird just happened on my line, but thank you, whoever just put yourself on mute. Was that Steve?
Yes, I was just wondering, since the chicken body is not real, the washing machine's not real, what's the difference whether the washing machine is broken or the chicken has a belly that is uncomfortable or dies even? What is the difference between the before and after the acceptance of the truth? Since there is no...
They're both just pictures. They're both just pictures. So,
right.
I mean, we think that there's a difference between animate and inanimate, right? and yet this is all part of a dream, all part of a dream. And, you know, I mean, a difference... I wouldn't say necessarily that a drier, like in terms of animate and inanimate, I see little egos in animals. You better believe my chickens peck at each other and, you know, boss each other around. Obviously, a drier is a drier. You're not going to necessarily see that, but it's just they're both pictures. They're both pictures, and they're there to be a block to seeing the truth.
Right, but what I'm asking is whether or not the chicken got well or didn't physically, the dream. One's a good, one's a bad dream, but we're still looking, oh, it works because now the chicken is
right.
Well. So I don't really
right.
understand. We're looking for proof in the physical going, wow. Look
right.
at what happened.
No, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. So that's the temptation of the ego, is to want to get in there and say, oh, this only works if the picture turns out okay, which is not true. So this happened to be the outcome for this situation, but had she chose to leave form, had she, you know, not gotten better, it's still our task to not judge. So it's still my task to not judge, even though, you know, even though she's better. It's my task to give, the Course says we are not capable of judgment. It's still about turning to the Holy Spirit. So it is less about the form and more about still just turning to Holy Spirit and letting Holy Spirit do the judging. So you're absolutely right that there's a big temptation there to look to form to try to prove whether or not this works, which
I think we have to
be really, really mindful that we don't fall into.
I just want to add this. Corinne? Let me just say this.
Hold on, Paula, one second, Paula. Steve, I just wanted to hear what you said first.
The idea that with Mary Baker, you're saying that the creator, we have the creator, and we have, is there a creation? And what's the difference?
The creation, though, is an idea. So God is the creator, and we are all God's creations, and we keep extending that creation too. I like to think about it as there is love, which is like love the creator. Love extends itself out and creates the ideas of, you know, a son, and we continue to extend that love. And I'm talking formlessness. I'm not talking the level of form. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. Steve, can you repeat the question one more time?
The form I have thought of as the creation, but I don't know the difference between, in the Course, the creator and the creation, since form is not real. What is the creation?
The creation is essentially the extension of love. It's abstract. It's ideas. And I mean, if you think of light and beams of light, but in that light is like presence, life, aliveness. This is where it's really hard for us to wrap our heads around this. So in the Course, creation is not referring to the physical world. It's the world is something that we, when we were in creation and formless, we had this, you know, tiny mad idea that we took seriously, that we decided, oh, I want to forget what I am and play around with this, you know, form and make myself forget what I really am. The Course is teaching us that we actually created the universe through our, you know, decision to put part of our mind to sleep. So it's not actually teaching us that, although in the dream, though, God is in everything, because we can't be apart from God. So there's, like, always paradoxes. There's always different ways of saying it. Does that help?
Well, it's just that before we took the forgot to laugh, how were we different from the creator?
Before we forgot to laugh, how are we different from the creator? That's a fantastic question. I can't say that I've had enough of an experience of that to speak from experience, number one. What I've gathered from near-death experiences that I've read from other teachers. One example that I like thinking of is that we're like facets of a diamond. If you look out, it seems like we're all, you know, different facets of the same diamond. If you look in, you see the connection and that, you know, the fact that we're all joined and one. That's one example that's resonated with me that I've heard before. But there's also... Yeah, there's also that oneness. And I do believe that there are levels of awareness that I don't know if I'm getting ahead of myself here saying this, but we've talked about this on the calls where, like, in The Afterlife of Billy Fingers, which is a near-death experience, the author can still speak with her brother who has passed on. He sort of describes stages of growth even after being out of his body where his awareness continues to expand. He enters a state of pure oneness and yet comes back into, like, more of a separate sort of experience. So I like reading those types of stories because they help me try to understand. So I can't answer the question ultimately because I'm still learning this myself, but does that help at least a little bit?
Yeah, but I think what ties in, because I had this other question before, this thing about the altar may be somehow like the Holy Spirit in that it's in the world of, it has traction where we are as well as in heaven, and it is the place that kind of we can take where we're stuck and just put it there, and then it's...
Yeah.
Yep.
I like that. I like that. That's beautiful. Paula, you were going to add something. I'm sorry. I just wanted to make sure.
I don't know. Now I'm a little bit confused, but this is what kind of came into my mind when he was asking that question. For me, I mean, the washing machine was not even an issue. It's just the difference between the crucifixion and the resurrection. I mean, when something like that goes wrong and I feel totally out of, like I have no control over it, and I mean, the ego gets right in there and oh, well, this is a disaster, you know, and it goes into this hole. And for me, not to go into that and to realize I don't have to go into that and that the Holy Spirit will take this. And it's the difference between crucifixion and then being resurrected from this nonsense. And it's, I mean, the washing machine's just a word. I am released. I feel like I'm let out of prison when...
Yeah,
that's
a good way of putting it.
Yeah,
yeah. Being able to rise above the battleground.
Being able to rise above it. I mean, you, with that chicken, being able to not go into the anxiety and the drama around it, because God knows, we know what that's like, don't we, Corinne?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, we do. We sure do.
Everybody on this call knows what that's like. And
absolutely.
Not to have to go through that. And to be released from it and to realize it's the only thing that's that's keeping us from our connection with God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Such a blessing. Okay.
Thank you.
I had something that was coming up as guidance to share. Was that Gary who was asking the question about creation?
Steve,
my apologies. This isn't an answer to your question, but I can definitely relate with, you know, my mind's always asking questions like this. I've spent so much time reading in my life, always trying to fill in holes and, you know, what are things supposed to look like? And just as you're talking about all this, I felt this kind of coming through. It's kind of like a pointing, and it's, we close our eyes and we ask, you know, what is the place where there is no need? Because this entire universe arises from a belief that there is something we need, and therefore something that we're lacking. So what is left when we have no need? And that is home.
Yeah.
I can't show it to you.
I
can't point it at it. But it's something that you can feel, I think.
It's an experience.
It is an experience. And that question, to me, Ryan, brings up an experience. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, like letting go of the need to know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes.
It can be a pain, but it's necessary.
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge. I heard Nook Sanchez once say, it's only ever the ego that wants to know. And it's true, right? Because we, in truth, we know already. We've forgotten. But it can be really helpful at times to try to understand, because it sort of, in my experience, quells that ego voice that really, really, really wants to know. So if I have something to try to, you know, to sort of grab onto, it can be helpful. So you're right, though, letting go of that need to know. And she also prompted, she was prompted, Nook Sanchez once was prompted after her husband had passed. Does she want, what was her question? It was, do you want to understand or do you want peace? Those were the two questions that came to her from Spirit. Do you want to understand or do you want peace? And she chose peace. So that's what you just said about letting go of that need to know.
Thank you very much.
Thank Blessings. You. Thank you for such a fantastic question. Deidre, did I hear you before? Did you have something you wanted to add?
Yeah, just after Paula was talking about her washing machine and we started talking about the ego getting in there and thinking that healing means something looking a certain way on the level of form. I had a really good example of that. I was at Unity today. And for those of you that don't know me outside of these calls, on the level of form, so basically my fictional character, my hologram, I use a walker to get around. So I walk with a walker that you pull behind you. And while I was at Unity today, I was talking to these lovely people, and out of, you know, concern and love and, you know, some things this woman was saying to me that I should try such and such herbal remedy, and, you know, I could have a healing if I did this, and I could be healed if I did that, and I just quietly in my mind, you know, because I immediately went to Spirit and I asked, you know, how do you want me to handle this? How would you have me respond to this right now? And the guidance that I received was very clear to just, you know, agree with whatever was being shared with me. And, you know, not open it up for any type of conflict or disagreement. But in my mind, remember the truth. Remember the truth of what the truth is. And the truth is, I am already healed. There is nothing to fix.
Yeah.
There is nothing that I need to do differently. I'm showing up the way I'm showing up for a reason and for, you know, I don't know what anything is for. I don't know why my hologram shows up in the world the way that it does. I have no idea. I just know it's being used as an instrument, as a teacher, as a communication device. So what really came through for me, though, while I was doing this is that the whole idea of, you know, I'm not going there. I'm not entering into the story that I need to be fixed. And it just brought back to mind how much of a shift there has been since the Course has come into my experience, because there have been times where the ego sleeping part of the mind has bought into the idea that there's something to be fixed. And, you know, today I was completely not willing to go there. And I don't ask for healings anymore. That was another point that I wanted to bring up, is that when I'm with anybody, whether it's for myself or, you know, the appearance of what's going on for a brother, in reality we're all one, but, you know, there's all these, we have all these stories about what's going on for us. And, you know, as miracle workers, we tend to think, oh, a healing only happens if something changes on the level of form, or I can see the evidence of whatever, you know, shifting on the outside. So when I take things to spirit, I don't say, you know, please, you know, fix this for this person. I just say, you know, your will be done, and that's it. Like, I don't ask for it to look a certain way, because I don't know what anything's for. So I just felt moved to share that example.
I feel like I've been healed after listening to that, Deidre.
Wow.
Deidre, that is amazing. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Oh, my God.
It is. It's perfect, and it's so true. And I just want to share another piece of what what I was learning with Corrine. To take truth and to apply it, I'm smacking on my arm, to take truth and to apply it to this thing that I think I am is a mistake. It's not gonna, I've already decided that there's something here that needs healing. So I'm echoing exactly what you just said, Deidre, that there is nothing, that there is nothing to fix, that healing has already happened, and all healing is at the level of the mind.
Amen.
It just so happened with my chicken that it showed up the way that it did. It, you know, and that's where, again, that non-judgment piece is so key. So I hope it's clear, because I am so right there with you, Deidre, I hope it's clear that what I shared, Deidre clarified that, like, we're saying the same thing.
You are.
To pick a goal of physical healing is already deciding that this is real. You know, to pick a goal that, oh, the picture has to change for the healing to work, is already deciding that this world is real. It's the healing comes at the mind level, because this is all in the mind. So I hope that that's clear, that what I was sharing, I don't want it to sound like it was contradictory, because I very much hoped to express the same as what Deidre was just saying. So I'm so grateful, Deidre, that you just brought this up.
Yeah,
yes, thank you.
I think the statement that Jesus made when he said the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that means not right around the corner, not 2 seconds from now, but the kingdom of heaven is here.
Yeah.
And that's what it's saying.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
And that's yeah. basically, yeah, that's what this whole thing has been about tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I feel so grateful. Thank you so much.
Yep. Me too. I'm so grateful. And this has been the fastest hour ever. Thank you, everybody. We'll resume again next week. Thanks, everyone.
Thank
Have a great
you,
night.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you,
bye,
family.
Everybody.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.